This is Owen Jones, and this is the Cheerful Election Daily. 6 days, everyone. 6 days. Numero six. Until the general election and the biggest, most important election of our time. Now, I'm in a massive, massive rush. I've got to go to Chipping Barnet to try and mobilise the Labour base. And the reason I have to go is the majority was 353 last time. If I don't go now, who knows? Maybe I won't turn up. That could be it. Maybe overstate my importance. But I'm just saying, talking in a podcast versus trying to get rid of the Tories. What I'm going to do today is take you behind the scenes of Momentum. They are the absolute epicentre of this campaign. And I want to show you what they're up to, what impact they're having, and what will it all mean for this election.
So I am in Finsbury Park in North London. This is Momentum HQ. Momentum, which was founded off the back of the first leadership campaign Jeremy Corbyn mounted back in 2015 to harness the energy in that campaign. It is a busy, cluttered office. A lot of people are hard at work. I am with Emma, who is one of the founding members of Momentum way back in that alternative universe of 2015. So tell me, firstly, just tell me how Momentum kind of began and what its purpose was.
Momentum was launched 4 weeks after Jeremy first became leader of the Labour Party back in 2015, which feels like a million years ago now. What we saw in that election was tens of thousands of people joining the Labour Party, people who'd never been interested in politics before, feeling like there was an opportunity for change. So Momentum was really about trying to build on all of that energy and enthusiasm and help to transform the Labour Party into a more radical party that was able to deliver a transformative agenda for the country, but also change the way that politics happens. It wasn't like some spectator sport, people in Westminster wearing suits, doing everything on our behalf. It's actually a movement of ordinary people up and down the country coming together to campaign on the issues that really matter to them locally and to take that energy into the Labour Party as well.
So it was often portrayed as quite a sinister force by a lot of the press and by MPs. It's going to come and reds under the beds, that kind of thing. How to explain that kind of that portrayal and the reality?
Yeah, I mean, there was so much just nonsense that was written about Momentum, particularly in those early days. And the reality was it was just like lots of really, really decent people who cared about a more equal and just society coming together to try and change the way the politics happened. So you have, like, I was a teacher myself, Santiago, who's sitting just over there now, who had been working as a carpenter. We had people who were students. We had people who were retired, who'd been working in, you know, the public sector or private sector, and just people from all walks of life coming together and trying to do things like make a positive change. And but we were simultaneously depicted as, like, you know, young and idealistic, or old Trotskyists and militant Mark II, you know, like, there were lots of different kind of accusations, but the reality was, you know, we're just a group of people trying to build a, it sounds very cheesy, but trying to genuinely build a different kind of politics.
So what's Momentum doing in this election?
Lots of stuff. So, you know, the level of activism has been just incredible in this election. When the election was called, Momentum just really sprang into action. We had a video call the day after the election was called, which thousands of people joined. We've been signing people. We've launched a Labour Legends programme where we've asked people to take a week to 2 weeks off work to campaign full time in a marginal constituency. We had something like 1,400 people sign up to do that. So we've placed hundreds of people who've committed to take 1 to 2 weeks off work, you know, who are travelling away from their homes for that period of time to go to the marginal constituencies in the country that need them the most and to just campaign full-time for Labour in those constituencies, staying with other Labour Party members. So it's just like taking solidarity to a whole new level. We've run, we've got this map called My Campaign Map. So you put in your postcode and it shows you where the marginal constituencies are that need you the most. So we're trying to make lower the any barriers to participation, trying to lower them as much as possible so it's as easy as possible for people to get involved. We've got these distributed teams of volunteers who work all around the country. In fact, we've even got international teams of volunteers who are also running calling programs and texting programs to mobilize volunteers. We have a clipping team, so a team of volunteers who clip every time there's something like one of the progressive commentators, maybe even like yourself, go go on, you know, on the media, making the arguments in favour of the Labour Party. So they'll clip those videos and put them onto a free-to-download Vimeo channel. So we've just got people. It's a big, like, people-powered effort, basically. The level of volunteer coordination is definitely on a scale that we've never seen before.
So it's bigger than 2017?
Definitely bigger than 2017. And that's a real challenge because, you know, we had been in a position to mobilise lots of people in that election. And it was also in the summer, which is generally, you know, when people are out and about and it's easier to motivate yourself to go canvassing when it's nice weather rather than a cold, drizzly Tuesday evening in November or December. But in spite of all of those challenges, the level of energy and optimism now is greater than 2017, for sure.
So finally, 6 days before the election, what would you ask people to do in those last few days, in the last lap? Because this is when I think people were... In the polling suggested that a massive chunk of people who voted for Labour in 2017 only did so, decided to do that in the last week. So what should people do?
So people, we've got 6 days left. Even if you haven't been involved in the campaign until now, you've got every opportunity to make a huge difference on the outcome. You know, we've got a polling day pledge, which we're asking people to sign. So even if it will be the first time that you've canvassed for the whole campaign, don't let that stop you. Like, get involved. We need as many people as possible on polling day, so Thursday the 12th, out helping us to get the Labour vote out, because this will be, you know, this is a big challenge that we have to overcome, particularly with a winter election. You know, it might be raining, we don't know what the weather's going to be like, that might depress the vote, and we know that the strength of Labour support are going to be with people who are least likely to vote. So we want to have a massive, massive get the vote out operation. So please go to mypollingdaypledge.com or my campaign map to find out where you can go to make the biggest impact and get involved. There's just loads and loads of people who've never done this before either. So if that's you, don't worry about it. Like, you'll be there with lots of friendly people who will help you get stuck in. So if you haven't already, then go to mypollingday.com and sign up to take the day off on polling day. Go to a marginal and help us get the vote out for Labour.
So I'm with Chloe. Chloe, how did we first meet? We might as well get that over and done with.
We met at Glastonbury in NY Down Low.
NY Down Low. It was about 3 a.m.
Yeah, I'd say around 3. It was a very beautiful night.
It was. We went to a field when it became light and just got just went in touch with nature.
I also got given an amazing bright orange Adidas hoodie by a complete stranger. So probably one of the best days of my life.
Right. So what are you doing here at Momentum? What are you working on right now?
Well, today I've been working on some preparation for a call winning this evening, which is about mobilising people to talk about the NHS on the doorstep. So we've just launched an amazing website with some resources about the NHS, some flyers, stickers. So focusing on that right now.
Why is it important to get people talking about the NHS in this election?
Well, we found that the NHS is one of the issues that's really, really cutting through with voters. So obviously, lots of people care about different things, and the Tories really want this election to be about Brexit. But what we're noticing is that one area which people really, really, really care about, and where people really do know that Labour is the party they can trust, is the NHS.
And what, in terms of what other stuff have you done, and what's the kind of highlights been for you this election?
There's been so many highlights, so many good moments. But yeah, I guess mostly we've been trying to focus on mobilising people to get out and get involved, and also to sort of like do more than they've ever done before. So we've been speaking to people who've been active for a while and saying to them, like, it's great that you've been going out canvassing, but what we really need you to do now is to help actually organise other people and get other people mobilised to go out canvassing as well. So we've asked people to set up Let's Go groups, where they're creating WhatsApp groups, getting all their friends involved. We've been asking people to host TV debates, watch parties, phone bank parties, doing all sorts of different things. Also been really involved with the Labour Legends programme, which has been incredibly exciting. That really is one of the highlights, is speaking to Labour Legends who have travelled all the way down to Cornwall and hearing about the amazing, amazing times they're having in these different places.
Finally, are you feeling hopeful?
I'm feeling so hopeful. I'm feeling really hopeful. It's been really exciting to see the polls starting to go up the last couple of days. And yeah, just really, really, really hoping we're going to elect the Labour government that we all deserve.
Woo! So Santiago, what were you doing before Momentum-y stuff?
I was a builder before that.
So what drew you into all of this?
I actually live in Islington, and my family, I'm half Chilean. I'm part of Jeremy's family's Chilean. His sons are half Chilean as well. There aren't that many Chileans in London, so they all kind of know each other. And once Jeremy got elected, like, my family was like, we got to help Jeremy in any way we can. Sent him a message, and he was like, look, you know, we've got tons of people around us, amazing people that can help out, but there's this new thing called Momentum starting. See if they want to help. So I went down after work, you know, all my building gear, turned up at the office. Emma was there. It was terrible, really messy, completely chaotic. Wasn't going to come back, but then got a lovely message from another activist called Adam, who was like, come back tomorrow, it'll be great. Did, never look back. So that's how I got involved.
So what are you doing in this campaign at the moment?
I'm working with lots of great people in the campaigns team. Basically, we're just trying to do as many things as possible to get as many people involved as possible. I think coming off the back of 2017, it was like the first time lots of people have been out canvassing, campaigning, ever kind of experienced what it was like to be on a doorstep. I think in 2019, we still got lots of those people, but there's lots of people now who are like experienced and active and have done this all before. And kind of now it's like making sure they can kind of go to the next level, make sure they're kind of doing stuff in a strategic way. What we don't want is like a repeat of 2017, where we've had lots of people, like thousands of people turning up to one constituency. We want as many people from like Manchester, Liverpool, London, going to the marginals outside in rural places where they're needed most. I think Momentum, we want to be that conduit where if you've got the time, you can be used. And that's not just time on a doorstep. You know, if you've got disability, if you've got caring responsibilities, if, you know, you've got anxieties and you don't want to speak to people on a doorstep, you know, your time will be used effectively. We've got online volunteer teams. Everything from texting and calling to research to, you know, persuading people on Facebook online. There's like a million ways to get involved. If you have time, Momentum will use it and use it strategically. And I think that's the role we want to play in this in kind of this campaign.
So finally, do you think Momentum learned what did work and what didn't work in 2017 to try and put that into change things for this time?
Definitely. I mean, I think, yeah, like I said, I think we, in the first time around, it was like, get out there, get canvassing, get campaigning. But not everyone can do that. And also it's quite easy to be quite like London focused and like city focused. I think this time around it's making sure that everyone can be involved, you know, using dialogue to call people, being part of a texting team to text anyone, kind of the relational organizing where you're speaking to your grandmother, your friends, your colleagues, getting them to go out and vote. Labour legends. So if you're the kind of person who can take 2 weeks off work to go and stay in a marginal, we'll facilitate that. And we know we've had people going from like Northern Ireland to Glasgow, from London to Truro, staying there for 2 weeks just campaigning. And it's like, you know, allowing people to step up, take the next level, kind of go beyond what they did in 2017. I think we've been doing that quite well.
Cheers, Antonio. So I'm speaking to Callum. He's a very talented young fella. So tell me briefly the summer stuff you do.
So I am digital communications lead here.
And a brilliant writer.
I didn't say that myself. But so basically I am doing lots of our kind of like social media stuff, some of our communications infrastructure, website, that kind of thing.
So what give me a bit of kind of detail. What does that mean in practice?
So we're trying out lots of kind of unconventional communication techniques during this campaign. So we've got stuff like a targeted live chat where on the bottom of some of our video adverts, particularly in marginal seats, there's an invite to like talk to a support volunteer. And basically those people then, if they click that, come straight into a chat with a volunteer on the back end. So it's kind of like digital door knocking, right? So people in marginals are having like direct conversations with volunteers, persuasive conversations over the internet in a way that we've never actually been able to do before. So that means we're reaching people who wouldn't actually be reached by just knocking their doors in the street, right? And that's really like opening up the way that we're targeting people and the way that we're having conversations and persuading people about, you know, the ideas of the manifesto. Alongside that, you know, we've got a much more sophisticated digital infrastructure this time around than we did last campaign. I mean, it's not my work, but my campaign map is quadruply as complex and way more used than my nearest marginal ever was. And so part of what I do is kind of trying to link that into our whole overarching project so that all of our digital assets are playing into the same thing.
So how many people do you think this is mobilising using this kind of online sort of approach?
So, I mean, the stats for my campaign map are huge. And then the actual conversations we're having, I mean, a lot of it's around things like the digital army. I mean, we're using WhatsApp in ways that haven't been used beforehand. We've got thousands and thousands of people forwarding messages on there to their friends, forwarding messages on there to group chats. It's really hard to actually know what, you know, WhatsApp's not very opaque about what you're actually achieving. But we are talking about, you know, huge new communications methods emerging out of this campaign that just didn't exist like 3 months ago.
So please introduce yourself in full.
Hello, my name is Claire Heimer and I am Member Comms Lead at Momentum.
What's going on then?
So one of the things I'm doing right now is I'm planning a conference call that we're running on Sunday. These are big mass conference calls that we run with thousands of activists across the country. They're really, really important for making activists feel really engaged and mobilised in the campaign. It's kind of a really key way that basically people feel hyped. It's really great that people are able to come on the call, feel, you know, really involved in the strategy. One of the really key things that we're pushing in this election is having a really open strategy. So we really want to be able to explain to people all the time exactly, you know, what our priorities are, why we're focusing on certain things. And these calls are a really great way for people to get hyped and have fun.
So what are your hopes in the last few days of this campaign in terms of what and the stuff you'll be doing and what that will mean?
I think the momentum, smaller momentum, really is here right now. In terms of what I'm doing, I'm really hoping that we're going to get absolutely thousands of people on our last two calls. We've got a big one on Sunday and we'll have another huge call the night before polling day. I hope this is going to be a really great opportunity for people to come together, feel really energised and then get out there in these last few days and make it happen.
Woo! So I'm with the big man himself, John Landsman, founder of Momentum. John, you, I mean, this must be surreal for you because you helped run Tony Benn's deputy leadership campaign and then you saw socialism collapse as a political force. Do you find this whole re-emergence a bit weird?
Well, it's not so much the re-emergence I find weird because I was hoping it would happen, you know, and working for it for quite a while. But it's the scale of it that is so different because actually, at the time of the Tony Benn campaign, I thought it was big. You know, it was a national campaign, first time the leader had been elected by the wider franchise, and there were meetings all over the country. There were rallies, there were fringe meetings, union conferences. But it was tiny in comparison with this. You know, our core team for that leadership campaign was about four people. You know, we've got 55 here or whatever it is, and it's just incredible, you know, the scale of the left's operation now and the sophistication, and so that is deeply encouraging.
So you are, of course, forever young, but it is true to say that this campaign, I mean, if I look around, you know, I'm 35 and I'm older than most of the people here. Why have young people played such a decisive role, including the leadership of this movement? What's happened there? What's this phenomena? Because in 1983, young people plumped for Margaret Thatcher's kind of a naive view of what history was, that young people are left-wing or whatever and then become right-wing.
I think it was, you know, it was so surprising and fresh to hear the kind of politics that Jeremy articulated in 2015. So many people were enthused by it because they'd heard it for the first time. I think young people, though they're young, have been let down by society in a big way. You know, I went to university, I didn't pay fees, I got a grant, I left with, well, it felt like a debt at the time, but it was several hundred pounds. You know, people leaving with tens of thousands of pounds worth of debt, you know, not being able to afford housing, you know, are in a very much worse position now. You know, I was able to sign on in holidays, you know, and stuff. So it's a different world, and I think there's that. You know, young people are on the sharp end of inequality, actually, in much larger numbers. Even people who come from relatively well off, you know, middle class, you know, families, you know, people in, you know, whose parents are in, you know, good jobs, you know, earning reasonable money, they're still severely disadvantaged.
What's Momentum's big contribution in this election campaign?
We've mobilised again very large numbers of people, but this time we're doing it not just on the ground, you know, in constituencies, we're doing it online. Last time we aimed to mobilise people to interact with the public. This time we're mobilising people to organise things, organise other people to interact with the public, and that way we can scale up to a much higher level. So, and to do different, you know, more and different varied things.
So a largely hostile media has often portrayed Momentum as just the kind of Jeremy fan club. But if Labour comes to power in some form next week, what would the role of Momentum then become?
We would want to be mobilising support for his policies. You know, and not everybody is going to like his policies. You know, the few are not going to like it. And we need to mobilise people to support those policies to ensure that, you know, they happen and we overcome the obstacles that he'll face.
And even maybe to, where necessary, put kind of make them more radical. What do you think?
Well, we do need to carry on pushing for them. I mean, I suppose it's not unreasonable to say that not absolutely every member of the Parliamentary Labour Party is equally committed to every aspect of the policies. And so, you know, some encouragement might go, you know, might be useful.
Will Momentum be here in 10 years?
Absolutely will be here. We'll, you know, whatever happens, we will be carrying on promoting the kind of programme that Jeremy stood for when he was elected leader, that's now set out in much more depth and detail in our manifesto. We're going to be carrying on pushing for more democracy in the party. We want it to be a member-led movement. It will be a member-led movement. That's crucial to our aims. We want to recruit more people. You know, we want to mobilise people for all of that, for democracy and for those policies.
Brilliant. So, I'm with Joe Beardsmore. Now, you've been out in the US for a long time, so tell me what you've been doing out there.
Yeah, I've lived there for about 5 years now. And I work with National Nurses United on their Medicare for All campaign, fighting for universal healthcare in the States.
So, in terms of the British and the American left, which have both risen quite dramatically and quite suddenly in the last few years at a similar time, what have they both, what do you think, has there been a real exchange of kind of experiences, of techniques, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch people in the UK and the US really work together, because we're faced with a lot of the same challenges. So in the US, people are fighting for universal healthcare, while here in the UK, we're fighting to defend it. And people have been sharing the tactics and the campaigning techniques that really work, so we can all help each other out. So earlier this year, there were volunteers in the UK who actually phoned people in the US to share healthcare stories, tell them about the NHS in order to help people in the US fight for Medicare for All. And also now in the UK, we're learning from some of the campaigning techniques that have been successful in the US. So in Bernie's campaign in 2016, when he was running for president, he used this kind of distributed organizing techniques, which allowed as many volunteers as possible to get involved and to step up and take on the kind of responsibilities that normally staff members play on a campaign. Since that Bernie campaign, people in the States have taken that further. So the National Nurses United Trade Union, they've been using those same techniques to build this huge mass movement fighting for Medicare for All. And then here in the UK, Momentum have also been using this same kind of approach to make sure as many people as possible can get involved in the campaign, and we can really build a mass movement that can overwhelm the establishment political forces we're up against, and also you know, outmaneuver and outfight the corporate media and the people who try to stop us from being heard.
So, and finally, what are you up to right now? What's your little project right here, right now?
Right now, I'm getting ready for a phone call we're having tonight with nurses and other NHS workers. We're talking about how to make sure the NHS is at the forefront of the campaign in these crucial final weeks. And we're getting ready to help people to speak about the NHS on the doorstep.
Tez, what's going on?
Hi, Owen Jones. It's a pleasure to meet you.
What a true pleasure for both of us. What's going on? Why are you doing this? What are you here for?
I am here with Momentum today to record some sketches to try, I guess, to try and influence people to vote the right way, to vote for the goodies next Thursday.
Not the bad guys, because they're rubbish.
Not exactly. And, you know, for me, I'm a young working class lad from up north, and everything in my life is affected by politics. And I think about the people around me, the people I've grown up with, my family, my friends, and all of those people, and what do they need to have a better standard of living from 2020 onwards. And I think a Labour government is what they need, and people around the country need.
So, Tez, you're a comedian. You could just spend your time just being a comedian and stuff. A lot of comedians do that. They're like, I'm not getting engaged with all this sort of stuff. Same with actors, musicians. Some do. Most don't. Why have you done it?
Because I care, man. I mean, I'm not saying those people don't care, but because...
Some of them don't.
Well, I guess some of them do, some of them don't. But where I'm from Blackburn, working class, northern town, like, I've seen the effects of austerity on Blackburn and on towns like Blackburn all over the country, because I travel in this job. That's what I do for a living. And so it'd be remiss of me to have this platform, to have been given this opportunity to be able to speak out and then not use it in what I feel is the right way.
So finally, what are you urging people to do last 6 days?
I'm urging people to keep the hope, keep the faith, spread that message of hope around the country. We've got an amazing once-in-a-lifetime transformational manifesto, transformational manifesto that I think would be amazing for the vast majority of people in this country. And even the people that think are going to be adversely affected by it, actually they're not, because good public services is good for everyone. And what is good for the goose would be good for the gander.
Boom.
Boom.
Cheers for listening, everyone. As ever, it's a real treat. I may or may not, let's see, do a special podcast after the leaders' debate. I think I am going to, but I've got to check with Emma Corsham, who's the brilliant person who has to spend her life listening to me babbling and trying to package it in a way that's vaguely listenable. So let's see how that goes. But lots of love. Keep fighting. Let's do this. Election Daily is produced by the Cheerful team, including Jeff Lloyd, Emma Corsham, Joe Kenyon, and Joel Pearce, with music from Pete Frazier.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.